then get into the lesson this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we thank you we have a place to out of the weather to hear them. Today is a great day to be outdoors to hear them, but some days it's raining, and we're grateful for this place, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, for just those that are making sacrifices around the world for your cause, Lord, and their families, Lord. We just pray that you would just give them grace to keep moving forward for thee. And Father, now we just pray that our hearts and our eyes and ears would be open to your words this morning, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, so where do we leave off here? We're in verse 20 here. The Bible says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, if we read back up a few verses here, we'll try to get the context of the thing here. The Bible says, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Okay? And the last time we were here, we kind of went into that a little bit. And the way that verse reads, you just can't take somebody that leaves church and doesn't come back to church anymore and say that they're an Antichrist. Okay, because sometimes they leave for different reasons and they go to different places and people move and they move on. All right, sometimes they go to different churches. But the way I looked at this verse the last time was, you know, we all start out on the right path, and God shows truth to each individual, and as those individuals act on that truth, you know by what they believe who they are, if they're Christ or if they're Antichrist, okay? And so verse 20, but we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things, okay? And so the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you something. And he gave you an unction, an anointing. As we're going to read a little later on in the chapter here, what is this unction or anointing? It's the Holy Ghost, and one job of the Holy Ghost that is inside you at the moment of salvation, right, is to teach you all things. He's to teach you all things. Now, because I have an unction from the Holy One, I know all things. Okay? And when I was unsaved, or when a person is unsaved, they are spiritually discerned. The Bible says they're spiritually discerned about the teachings of the Holy Ghost. They are. In fact, when a person is unsaved, the teachings of the Holy Ghost is foolishness to them. It's foolishness. However, now that I am saved, the reason why I or anyone else knows anything spiritual is because of the unction that the Lord Jesus Christ gave me. Okay? And the moment I got saved, or the moment anybody gets saved. Now, when the Bible says, I know all things here, in 1 John 2:20, we really need to keep this in the context of what John is talking about here, okay? And you know, you and I know who is an Antichrist. That's the context here. You and I know who is not an Antichrist, right? That's what he's talking about here. You know that by what a person does with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I also know who's telling a lie and who's telling the truth about their being an antichrist or not being an antichrist. The truth. We know the truth, and we know who's telling the truth, and we know who's telling a lie, and that is based upon their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't say a Christ here. Look at what it says here. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that it, no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Right? I didn't say a Christ. There are many Christs out there in the world. But there's only one, the Christ. And Jesus, the Christ, the one who died for our sins. There's only one of them. There's only one. So there is no other. When the Bible says the Christ, it's saying that there's no other. There's no other. Okay? But not only that, but there's a few other things that I know because of the unction that was put inside of me. And that is, you know spiritual things from spiritual truths from spiritual deception. You do know that. And you have a lot of people out there that will talk about an anointing, folks, that they got, that they have, especially in the charismatic group. And they're the ones that are the most deceived. They're most deceived. Why? Because they don't know what the Bible says about tongues. They don't. It's right there in front of them, though. And not only that, but they don't know what the Bible says about healings and the sign gifts. And so, what do? They're deceived into thinking that they have this great anointing to do all these things. And when it comes to belief in Jesus Christ and that Jesus is the Christ, they lack in that. They lack. Why? Why don't they know what the Bible says about tongues? And why don't they know what the Bible says about the sign gifts? Because they set up an idol in their hearts, folks. They set up an idol in their hearts. And when a person does that, whether saved or lost, they're going to be deceived. They're going to be deceived. And what a person needs to do is tear down the idol that's in their heart. You think you know something? The Bible says you know nothing. You know nothing. But so they need to tear these things down. They need to repent of these idols that they put up in their hearts, whether saved or lost, and find out what the Bible says about the subject. And learn to verify. I mean, folks, it's our job to verify when people are talking. We need to verify what they're saying. And the only verification that we as Christians have is the Bible. We have nothing else. We can't go to the news. I'm sorry. You might as well just shut that thing off. And the paper, you don't waste your money on it. We have the Bible. Everything that God wants a Christian to know is in His words. And thank God for them. Because without God's words, we don't know anything. We don't know anything. But a Christian can be deceived, folks. If a Christian sets up an idol in his heart, say, self. Right? Well, I don't sin. Christians say that. They do. If you don't, just ask them. Right? If you don't believe that, just ask them. But a Christian can be deceived about sin. Look, if you would in 1 John, chapter 8, or 1 verse 8. I'm sorry. There's no chapter 8. Chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Folks, when a Christian goes outside of the truth that God has shown us, you're setting yourself up for deception. The Bible says so. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be deceived, folks. I don't. And every time I go outside of the Word of God, you might as well put a chuck. Hey, you know what? Put a notch in the belt, right? You're setting yourself up for deception. And if you think you're somebody, Christian thinks they're somebody. Oh, I'm a man of God. How do they say it? I'm a man of God, right? Really? Look, if you would, in Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 3. The Bible says, "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." He deceiveth himself. Want to know what you are? What I am? Sinner saved by grace. If you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace. And the only reason why you're saved is because God found it in His heart to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And there's what you are. There's what we are. That's what we are. Now, am I going to go around looking down? No, I'm a child of God. The Bible says so. But if I go outside of the Word of God and think that I'm anything else, some special person, guess what? Nothing. Right? Nothing. And so, you can be deceived, folks. You can deceive yourselves. Also, you can be deceived if you're a Christian this morning and you think that you're going to get away with sin. You can be deceived. You can deceive yourselves. Look, if you wouldn't, Galatians 6, verse 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If you're going to reap, you're going to reap what you sow. So if you sow to the flesh, which is sinful, guess what you're going to reap? And just pray that the reaping isn't greater than the sowing. Because farmers, they put one seed in the ground and they end up with multiple seeds. And so you can end up with multiple things against what you sow if you sow into sin. To the flesh. But if a Christian sets up an idol in his heart, which is himself, then he can and he will be deceived about certain things that he already knows. Folks, you ever notice that when you sit under good preaching and you sit under teaching, I don't say good because I'm up here teaching, but when you sit under good teaching and good preaching, do you ever notice that, it seems like you already know what the teacher and the preacher are saying? Isn't that something? Even if you never heard a thing before, you're like, man, that's right. Right? That's right. Why? You already know. You already know that. It's like it hits a chord even when you never heard it before. You know why that is? Got an unction from the Holy One. And we have the moment of salvation, the Bible says. We have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. First Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. The Bible says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And that's why when you sit under the preaching and you sit under teaching, and even though you've never heard it before, it's like, man, that's right. You already know it. It's something spiritual. And because you have the unction, you have the Holy Spirit inside you, you know all things. You know all things. 1 John. The Bible blessing. It really, it is. And verse 21, the Bible says, "I have not written unto you..." Look at what it says. Because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. You see what he just said in the verse before that. And ye know all things. What things? "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth." The truth. You know the truth because of who's inside of you. And a lot of the things that we sit under is just to bring back to the memory, to our memory, We already have the mind of Christ. We need to remember these things. And a lot of that is just remembrance. John isn't writing to unsaved people. He's writing to saved people. And the Bible says that saved people already know the truth. They know it. And again, we need to be reminded of what we already know because of the unction that was given to us. We already know that we're not to live according to the flesh. We know that. There's something in us that tells us, hey, that thing is wrong, and this thing is wrong, whatever it may be. Not listening to the mom and dad. Not listening to the Lord. We know that stuff is wrong. We know it's wrong to defile the body with bad things. Smoking, drinking, such and such. But not only is it bad to do that, it's bad to defile the heart with bad things. Like envy and pride, jealousy and rage and all that stuff, folks. Those are the ones that are really, we don't even realize they're there until they pop up. But then when they pop up, we need to get them right. And so we need to be reminded of those things. Why? Because it's easy, folks, to get distracted from the things that we know to do. The things that we know because the Lord is in us. And that's why we need to be constantly reminded to do right. Verse 22, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, folks, John is not saying that the Antichrist is a system. And we know that the system out there, it doesn't want anything to do with Christ. It doesn't want, but he's not talking about a system here. He's talking about a person, individuals. And again, he's not only referencing a single individual who shall come. That's after the rapture. There's an Antichrist that's going to show up that exalts him, sits in the temple of God, and exalts himself above God, and all the things that are of God, and all that stuff. He's not only talking about a singular individual. He's talking about people in general who deny Jesus Christ. And those are antichrists. That's what he says. Verse 18. You have heard that antichrist shall come. That's singular. Even now are there many antichrists. Plural. Right? So he's referencing both here. He's referencing both. And so these are deceivers. They're deceivers. Look, if you would, in 2 John chapter 7. Or, I'm sorry, 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Many. And then he references a singular. So he goes, he gets personal there. He gets personal. But an antichrist, and this is what an antichrist does. He denies both the Father and the Son. That's what he does. And this is what John talks about in John chapter 5. Look if you would in John chapter 5. He talks about this earlier. John chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Okay? And so, an antichrist, he denies both the Father and the Son. And if you deny the Son, you automatically deny the Father. You deny the Father. You deny it, and vice versa. Why? Because Jesus Christ is equal with the Father. He is. Look, if you would, in 5 verse 17. The Bible says, but Jesus answered, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. You see what he's saying there? He's making himself equal with the Father. And the Jews knew this. They knew what he was saying. The Father works and Christ works. And the Jew knew exactly what Jesus meant when he said this. And they wanted to kill him for it. Look, if you would, in the next verse. Therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That's why the Jew wanted to kill him, because he was making himself equal with God. They thought it was blasphemy. And why? Because they didn't believe Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, the Holy Spirit will tell a man that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He'll tell a man that Jesus is the Christ. And a spirit of a false Christ, they will not tell you that Jesus is the Christ. And they will not tell you that Jesus has come in the flesh. And so you can judge the spirits that way. You can judge those spirits that way. But the Holy Spirit, he'll tell a man, and he'll assure you that this is the truth. Unholy Spirit, no way, no way. And look, if you would, in 1 John 4:3. I'll figure out why I put that there. 1 John 4:3. The Bible says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God." Is not of God. And this is the spirit, is that spirit of Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Already is in the world. They'll deny it, folks. They will deny it. And here's a real test. When you look at the New Age movement, they'll tell you, folks, they'll tell you that Jesus, he was a good man. But you know what they'll do? They'll do this deceptively. And they'll never tell you that Jesus is the Christ. They never will. The real test for a spirit, or somebody that claims that they're believers, folks, you either have the Holy Spirit inside you, or you have another spirit inside you. The Holy Spirit comes inside you, the other spirit's got to go. Okay? The true test is found in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Pastor's got a good track. I got it here. I went and got it. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Great track. But Matthew 22, verse 41. This is the test. The Bible says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord saith unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? How is he his son?" And so, if you want to expose, in this case, Jesus knew how to expose the Jewish professing believer. He knew how to expose them. Here, this is how he exposed the unbeliever. Right? Verse 41, verse 42, verse 43. And this is not just David saying this. It's very clear, verse 43. He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?" This isn't just David saying this. This is the Holy Ghost inside him. What does the Bible say? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. I'm sorry. Verse 44. The Lord saith unto the Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then call him Lord, how then is he his son? How then is he his son? And here is what a spirit that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. Or maybe they believe it, but they'll never say it, folks. This is what the Spirit does. Verse 46, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. You know what? The Pharisees thought he was a good man. They did. The Pharisees thought that he came from a good lineage. David was a good man, right? There comes Jesus Christ, they're the son of David. He came from a good lineage. But they never thought, they never believed that he was the Christ. They never did. And when they did that, you know what they did? Denied Jesus Christ. They denied the Father. That's what they did. They did. And so what is he saying? What is David doing calling a lower, somebody lower than him, his Lord? Right? Something's wrong there. That's what Jesus was trying to get from these people. What's he doing calling somebody that's lower than him Lord? Right? Jesus can't be the Lord of David if he's his great, great, great grandson. Right? Unless he's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. He can't be that. And the spirit of Antichrist is such a deceiver that he'll tell you all the good things you want to hear about Jesus. But they'll always fail when asked, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? And Peter got it right, folks. Whose son is he? He's the son of the living God. That's what he said. The son of the living God. And hey, you know who the Antichrist is going to be, folks? He's going to be a religious leader. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to get Israel to follow him. And you know how he's going to do that? He's going to say great things about Jesus and about David, but he'll deny that Jesus Christ is, that Jesus is the Christ. He'll deny it. He'll deny it. Go back, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. The Bible says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And again, this verse goes along with John 5:23. But the words, acknowledge the Son hath the Father also, are added here to make sense of this verse. And the acknowledgement here is that Jesus is the Christ, verse 22. That's the acknowledgement. When you acknowledge that, guess what? You honor the Father. You not only honor the Son, but you honor the Father. You give him his rightful due. And he is. He's equal with the Father, folks. He's equal with the Father. He's not only the Christ, he's the Savior. He's the Savior. He's the Son of the living God. As Simon Peter said, Matthew 16 and 17, verse 24 of John, 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now this is referring to truth, folks. Let therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. What did you hear from the beginning? The truth. The truth. And so this is referring to the truth. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The Bible says, for all have sinned, right? And come short of the glory of God. And that's why everybody needs a Savior. Because everybody's a sinner. And when you deny that, the truth isn't abiding in you. When you say that's not true, the truth is not in you. Look, if you would, in 1 John 2, verse 4. Let me see, 2 verse 4. The Bible says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So what is this abiding in you? It's the truth, folks. It's the truth. Listen, you cannot, and I cannot, continue in the Son and in the Father if you're walking after the flesh. And we've gone through this. This is talking, you have to divide it here. It's talking about the Son. You cannot choose to walk after the flesh and continue in the Father and in the Son. It just doesn't happen, folks, because there's no darkness in Him. You can't bring darkness into Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen. Now remember the theme of 1 John here. It's 1 and 2 John. It's fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And if you and I, believers, allow the truth to remain in us, that is the Word of God, then you'll walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And in doing so, you will continue in the Son and in the Father. Why? Because the Spirit and the Son and the Father are equal. There's equality there. And if you choose the flesh instead of the Spirit, you cannot continue in the Father. And you cannot continue in the Son. Why? Because there's broken fellowship. And it needs to be mended. And then you can continue. Then you can continue. Verse 25. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Folks, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're promised eternal life. Okay? God has told us over and over again that you have eternal life for believing in His Son. You have it. And this is a great promise. Why? Because God is the one that promised it. And the Bible says, God is not a man that He should lie. Numbers 23:19. He's not a man that He should lie. And look at what the Bible says in Titus. Titus 1. Not only is He not a man that He should lie, but He cannot lie. He can't lie. Why? Because the Bible says He can't. 1:2. Paul, a servant of God, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised. He promised it. When? Before the world began. Before the world began. And folks, He said it. It's true. And Paul tried really hard to teach his converts about eternal life and what it was, how you received it. And that was by faith. And when you look in Galatians, you'll see in chapter 3, 1 and 2, that somebody got in there and deceived these people into thinking that it was by doing the law. And they brought them back under bondage. They brought them back under bondage. Why? Because they didn't allow the truth that Paul had already given them. They didn't allow it to abide in them. And they were deceived. And this is talking about a Christian being deceived, folks. And when you don't allow the truth of God to abide in you, you're susceptible to lies. Every Christian is susceptible to lies. Back, if you would, in 1 John. I'm almost done here. Bible's very specific, and it doesn't want you to be deceived. God does not want you to be deceived. He wants you to go through life knowing, folks, that everything that He shows you in here is true. He doesn't want you to have a lie. He does not want that to happen to you. But if you don't let the truth abide in you, you're susceptible to it. Verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. No matter who you are, or where you are, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, there are people led by unholy spirits, folks. Another spirit trying to deceive you to sin. trying to deceive you, to believe a lie about your eternal life. Why? To bring you into bondage. And when it comes to learning anything spiritual, folks, you know what you don't need? You don't need any man to teach you anything. If someone is teaching you something, we have to put forth due diligence, folks, to verify the things that are being taught with the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You verify it with the Spirit. Word of God. Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." That's God's words. God's words. And so, verse 27, 1 John, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him." Okay? You have the Holy Spirit in you to teach and guide you into all things, right? And so, why are we to sit under preaching? Right? That's what the New Age movement will put forth towards you. Well, you don't need to sit under the preaching or teaching of the Word of God because God teaches you everything. The Holy Spirit... No, folks. That is true, right? In one case. But they take it out of context. And the truth is not abiding in them. Because God gave the church gifts. And one of them is pastors, one of them is evangelists, one of them is teachers. And you know what the Bereans did? They verified, they went through and they received these things with all readiness of mind, and we're to do that. But we're also to go back and verify that those things are correct. The Bible says they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They heard something in church. They searched the Scriptures, made sure it was so. Why? Because, folks, even the best preacher can be deceived. Even the best teacher, if his heart's not right, can be deceived. And that's why we need to go and do this. And it's our job to do this. We need to study and to prepare. And what do the New Agees do? They run to Matthew 10, 19, and 20. And they'll say, "Well, see, if you're brought before councils, you don't have to study or do nothing. You'll just be given the answers." But they failed to read 1 through 10, where God gave the disciples power. Not only did he give them power, he told them where to go. Not only did he tell them where to go, he told them what to do. And if they did all those things, then when they were brought, and if they got caught and brought into the jails and brought before the judges and magistrates, the council, right? Then God would give them the answer that they needed to give. And so, see how you can take the Scriptures and if you don't have the proper discernment, you start comparing Scripture with Scripture that you shouldn't be comparing with to get whatever answer you want. And that's what they do. And so we got to keep things in the context that they're given. Well, what is John doing? He's warning about deceivers, warning us to watch out for their deception. We don't have to be deceived. And if we're diligent with the truth of God to let it abide in us, then we won't be deceived, folks. We won't be deceived, and we'll be able to continue on with the Father and with the Son. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And we pray, Lord, we need to allow the Word of God to abide in us. And we pray that we would allow that to happen, Lord, so that we can continue in the Son. We can continue in the Father and have fellowship with Thee. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.